What do the most successful growing businesses have in common? They're working together in Slack. Slack is where work happens with all your people, data, and information in one AI-powered place. Grow your business in Slack. Visit slack.com to get started.
America's public pension funds are short on cash. How safe are the retirement accounts of public workers? Plus, violent protests rock Europe as police and protesters clash amid new COVID restrictions, and the global shipping backlog may be getting better.
We are getting signs that the demand in the United States for manufactured goods is gradually easing.
So will things get back to normal? It's Monday, November 22nd. I'm Peter Granitz with the Wall Street Journal. Here's the AM edition of What's News, the top headlines and business stories moving your world today. At least five people have been killed and more than 40 injured in Waukesha, Wisconsin, after an SUV plowed through the city's Christmas parade. Police say they've recovered the vehicle and have detained one person of interest. The Journal's Joe Barrett is in Waukesha.
The parade went by, and then suddenly a speeding SUV crossed a police barricade and ran over multiple people, including a marching band and some senior citizens and a dance troupe.
City officials say the number of people killed and injured may change as their investigation continues. Two of the 17 missionaries abducted in Haiti last month have been freed. Christian Aid Ministries said Sunday that the two are in good spirits, but it did not reveal their names, where they currently are, or how they were freed. The gang that took the 17 hostages demanded $1 million ransoms for each person. At the time of the kidnapping, five of the hostages were children, including an eight-month-old baby. Europe is reeling from a weekend of violence, with clashes erupting in the Netherlands, Belgium, Italy, and Austria over new COVID-19 restrictions. Several protesters and police were injured in Rotterdam, where officers opened fire on demonstrators. The tensions come as the number of U.S. coronavirus deaths in 2021 surpassed the toll in 2020, according to federal data in Johns Hopkins University. The rise in cases and deaths around the world is largely attributed to the highly contagious Delta variant. And Chinese tennis star Peng Shuai re-emerged Sunday after having not been seen since November 2nd. That's when she accused a retired Communist Party official of sexual assault. On Sunday, Shuai appeared at a state-sponsored youth tennis tournament, and she later participated in a video meeting with the International Olympic Committee President Thomas Bach. The IOC requested the meeting, and it reported that Shuai is safe and at home in Beijing. The pension funds for America's public workers are currently worth about $4.5 trillion, and very little of that is cash. The pensions for police, firefighters, teachers, and others have the lowest level of hard cash in 7 years. That's according to Boston College's Center for Retirement Research. To find out what that cash crunch means for retirees, we are joined once again by markets editor Quentin Webb. Good morning.
Hi there. Good morning.
I think people want to know, are their pensions safe? Is it okay to keep so little accessible money on hand?
Well, it does create some potential issues. There's a risk of a kind of liquidity problem, if you like. I mean, think of it in terms of your own household finances. You know, you could put a lot of money into shares, maybe, if you thought that shares would give you a better return than just having cash on deposit. But then just think about when suddenly you have some big unexpected repair bill, for example, then you might need to sell some of those shares very quickly to kind of realize some cash. And then you have to take whatever the prevailing market price is. And so you might have to sell some investments at a loss. So that's the issue here. It's a kind of liquidity issue. How much cash should you keep on hand? The more cash you have, the lower your returns are likely to be.
Right. Do these pension funds have enough of that cash on hand to pay out the benefits that they're supposed to?
Well, that could become a bit of a problem. I mean, we are seeing in some parts of the United States potentially a very large pickup in people who are eligible to retire in the next year or so. And so as those numbers increase, there could be some cash requirements on the pension funds. Another issue is that some of the investments that these funds are making, so for example, private equity fund investments, can also then lead to further cash demands.
Why is this happening? Why are these funds holding so little cash?
Well, it's partly because you have to think about other ways to make a good return for your investors. Nowadays, of course, you can't make a good returning just by investing in government bonds or in high quality corporate bonds. And so another issue is that not only have these holdings of cash fallen, but holdings of these very liquid bonds have fallen too, because you need to reach into other less liquid assets for better returns. So that means taking some of that money, putting it out of bonds, putting it into private equity, putting it into real estate, putting it into kind of other alternative investments. So that's what this is all about.
And those alternative investments can lose value just as they gain it, right?
Well, yes, of course. As with all investing, you know, no risk, no return. And so there is a risk with some of these asset classes that, yes, you could lose money, and or you could find that this stuff is very illiquid. So if you want to sell out straight away, that could be a problem.
That is markets editor Quentin Webb. Thanks for your time.
Thanks very much.
Coming up, there are signs that the global shipping backlog is easing. So when does everything get back to normal? Or does it ever?
You're a growing business and you can't afford to slow down. If anything, you could probably use a few more hours in the day. That's why the most successful growing businesses are working together in Slack. Slack is where work happens, with all your people, data, and information in one AI-powered place. Start a call instantly in huddles and ditch cumbersome calendar invites. Or build an automation with Workflow Builder to take routine tasks off your plate. No coding required. Grow your business in Slack. Visit slack.com to get started.
There are signs that the problems in the global supply chain are easing. The cost to ship a container across the Pacific dropped 25% in the first week of November. And the number of ships waiting to unload at the ports of Los Angeles and Long Beach has decreased, though it's still hovering near record levels. Shipping and retail executives do not see the backup of goods easing until early 2022. So we figured now's as good a time as any to take stock of the shipping industry with Costas Paris. He's a senior reporter for the Journal and covers the industry. Welcome.
Thank you.
Tell us about that drop in costs. How significant is that?
It was the first time, it went down by a quarter, as you said. It was the first time that we have seen that drop in 2 years. And from the people in the industry that we talk with, we are getting signs that the demand in the United States for manufactured goods is gradually easing. This means that the backlog at the ports in the West Coast should also start easing.
These are for the Pacific rates, which matters because most U.S. imports come from Asia. What about rates for the rest of the world? How are they looking?
The fall has not been as big, as dramatic, but they are following the same trend. So the other big ocean highway, if we can put it that way, right, is from Asia to Europe, calling to a number of ports on the way and on the way back from Europe. And there has been falls also in the freight rates on that route.
Not long ago, the White House made what it called a big announcement when it said the Port of Los Angeles was going to operate at 24 hours. What kind of effect did that have, if any?
It didn't have too much of an effect. I mean, we have been talking to trucking companies, and we have been talking also to the ports. And there are very, very few truck drivers that go at night to pick up cargo. It doesn't make too much sense for them economically. And they're also unionized, so they mostly work, the port operators mostly work the first two shifts. So it really doesn't make too much sense to pick up cargo. The problem is that even if you pick up cargo at night or work 24/7 from the ports, those boxes, those containers have to find a place to go. Now, the container depots at the ports are full. The warehouses outside the ports are full, right? So there's an issue on where to leave those containers.
Some top retailers like Amazon and Target have chartered their own vessels to smaller, less busy ports. Did that have an impact on the backlog?
No, not really. The ships that those big retailers chartered are quite small. They were mostly for seasonal goods. It's a very, very small fraction of the cargo that they bring in, but it was mostly for seasonal goods, let's say Christmas decorations, you know, small gadgets, popular stuff that would be bought over the holiday season. As the situation eases, it does not make sense for them to pay up to three times or twice or three times more the cost per container on those ships and not use the bigger liners.
When you talk to shipping executives, what do you hear? How are they feeling right now?
It is a mixed picture. They enjoy profits that they've never, ever seen before. I mean, they're making in a quarter as much as they've made in a year in past years. So this is good. And this gives them the opportunity internally, basically, to pay down debt. They were hugely indebted because they went through 10 years of very, very low rates and losses. And the second thing is, as far as electronic bookings are concerned, the shipping industry is years behind the airline industry in digitizing the cargo. And this is part of the supply chain problems. But they all agree that the signs are, and the numbers and the forward bookings show, that once we come in February, which is the Chinese New Year, and Chinese production falls, that the log jams are going to ease. When the log jams ease, it means that demand is down. When demand is down, the freight rates also fall.
Has the pandemic created a new normal for supply chains?
It has created the need of a new normal for supply chain, but it's not easy to reach that goal. What it has demonstrated, the pandemic, is that the supply model that we've had for decades, which is just-in-time cargo, is susceptible to issues. When ports close, this just-in-time cargo is not just-in-time anymore. It's just stuck in ships. So you wait for it, which means that retailers, other business have to restock. They have learned that lesson, and they are trying to restock, keep more merchandise in warehouses. But the bigger issue, the bigger picture of diversifying production centers away from Asia, away from China, it's something which is far more challenging. And if you try to move it, to open a production center, for instance, for iPhones, let's say, in the United States, really doesn't make sense economically. So it's very, very difficult to stop China being the manufacturing center of the world. The same model will continue, and we may face similar issues with another pandemic or other issues like weather or something in the future.
Costas Paris, he's a senior reporter and knows just about everything about the shipping industry. Thanks for your time.
Thank you very much.
And finally, news for those who've been frustrated with a broken iPhone and been told they can only get it fixed by Apple. The company says that starting early next year, you, yes, you, can fix your own phone and computer with genuine Apple parts. But what happens if you find yourself mid-repair completely over your head? Here's the Journal's Dalvin Brown, who covers personal tech.
Apple has said that if you open your device and realize that you're in over your head, then you can take it in to a Genius Bar for help. So in some cases, absolutely, an Apple technician might be able to step in and help you without you voiding your warranty. The flip side of that is if you go in and you break something and there are glitches because you opened up your device, then that might have a negative impact on your warranty. And at that point, Apple does not have to help you. They may just point you toward their website to order a replacement device.
And that's what's news for Monday morning. We'll be back tonight with a new show. I'm Peter Granitz with the Wall Street Journal. Thanks for listening.
What do the most successful growing businesses have in common? They're working together in Slack. Slack is where work happens with all your people, data, and information in one AI-powered place. Grow your business in Slack. Visit slack.com to get started.